One of the kids said, yeah, they taught me, this is a little kid, they taught me how to say instead of, ooh, that's gross, when they give you food, they taught the kids, say something like, wow, thank you for letting me try that. You know, that goes a long way in a different culture. Think about this for a moment. The IMB, they spend a week plus on security, and they have incredible protocols. Yo, I'm telling you, the IMB does it well. I am so thankful to be a part of the SBC and what the IMB is doing. I was even told that when a major crisis arises, they quickly communicate with their team. And when a major situation happened last year, they had 30 units in the area. And within 3 minutes, all but two of the units were communicated with and in a safe place. Within 7 minutes, all of them were communicated with and in a safe place. I'm telling you, they are watching it day in and day out to protect the missionaries that we're sending all over the world. And I want to say one more thing, and this is what really broke my heart. Church, we have 5,500 missionaries all over the world, which is incredible. That's how many are on the field right now all over the world. That doesn't include the North America Mission Board and here in America. But we have 5,500 all over the world. But can I tell you, every day on average, 174,202 people die not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Let me just say it again. 174,202 people die every day. That means since I've been talking, several people have passed away. Church, we need more than 5,500. And that requires two things. That requires us sending. You may be saying, David, that's me. The Lord's been putting that on my heart. But that also requires us giving. To hold the rope for those that are going out all across the world. In just a few months, we have the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, which goes solely to provide for those on the field. Doesn't even go to administration cost here in America. It goes solely to missionaries on the field internationally. Last year, we gave about $50,000. And my prayer this year is to go on and tell you that it takes about $60,000 to cover one missionary per year. For a family unit, about $100,000. My prayer is that we at least support one missionary for the year this year. You say, Dave, why are you telling us now? It's not Christmas time. So that we can start praying and preparing. So that we could be ready. I pray that the Lord will lead us as a church to continue to give and to send those all over the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin today. Father, you are so good, and we just praise your holy name. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that Brother Randy and I had at the ILC this week, Lord. And just, Father, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm so thankful for the IMB, the International Mission Board. I'm so thankful for the North American Mission Board, Father, that we are sending all over the world in the great pursuit to share with those that the greatest problem and the only problem in this world is lostness. And Father, we know the answer. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you will continue to work in our hearts, that we would be a sending church, that we would continue to be a giving church, that we would pursue the nations. And, Father, I pray that that would start right here, pursuing Mobile, Alabama, for the kingdom of God. So, Father, we love you. We praise you and we give you all glory, for it's in your holy, holy name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Brother Aaron, before I pass this to you, I do have to tell them there was one word that they said every day about 20 times a day at the IMB. Guess what that word was? Abide. They said, if we don't teach our missionaries to abide, they will fail. Church, can I tell you, if we don't abide, we will fail. Let's abide daily as we run for the kingdom. Brother Aaron.
Amen. We're so glad that you joined us today. Why don't you stand and welcome someone around you to Luke 418 Fellowship as we begin to sing. In every season of life, we have a reason to praise the Lord. So let's do that together.
Rejoice in the Lord now and go. Worship the Lord to remember all of the joy yet to come. The hope that burns within us, the dark cannot destroy. With praise that's never ending, we say again, rejoice with each breath.
One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We want people to do that today, in this moment, so that they can be with Him forever. Let's sing All Creatures of Our God and King.
All creatures of our God and King.
Lift it up today.
Lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia.
fellowship of believers, for you are worthy of our worship and everything we are.
Let all things their Creator bless and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him. Alleluia.
Sing this.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one.
Praise Christ that He is our cornerstone, our firm foundation.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus.
Sing this together.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Darkness seems.
When darkness seems.
trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Let's sing this together again. Christ alone, he is our cornerstone, our firm foundation.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord alone.
Amen. You may be seated as we continue in worship today. I'm often amazed when reading scripture that God is both a personal God. He knows us by name. He knows every hair that's on our head. He's our personal cornerstone that we're building our life around. But he's also the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and knows all and is there with us at every moment of every day. And in Psalm 145, it kind of speaks to this, that our God, our King of Kings, is your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. And then at the end of the chapter, it tells us how to respond. And at the end of Psalm 145, it says, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. And one day we're going to see him face to face. And that there's going to be a great cloud of witnesses all singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I can't wait for that day. But until that day comes, we need to be working for the Lord. We need to be sharing our faith. We have the greatest news imaginable, and why would you hide that away? Why would you not share that? Let's sing this together.
A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to land.
Sing this with us.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all.
All thrones.
All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries,
yes,
holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. And if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear his name,
sing the song forever to the Lamb.
We'll sing the song forever, and amen, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries.
Hear your people sing today.
Oh. the greatest. Your name stands above them all.
All thrones.
All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all.
Let's sing it again.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high.
Orchestra recede, we will pray together. Heavenly Father, you are holy, which means that there is no one like you. I pray that you would remind us of that each and every day as we look to nature, as in your creation, Lord. We see that there is no one like you. There's no way that this could have happened on its own. As we look at your word, we say there is no one like you. As we tie every single part of scripture to Christ and see how it all leads up to this one moment when God became flesh and dwelt among us. And not only that, but died for our sins. When we look to the cross and to the resurrection, we say there is no one like our God. He is surely holy, because no other king would die for someone undeserving and lowly like us, guilty of sin. As we look at the life that we get to live together in community and fellowship, right here at Luke 4:18, we say there is no one like our God, because we are completely grouped together to grow in you. And as we see what you're doing all around the world, and as we even talk today about our missionaries that are being sent out, we say that there is only one name that can change a life, and that is Jesus Christ. We praise you for that today. Guys, we got one more song, okay? We're going to teach you a new one today. One of the great things about having somebody else speaking is that you kind of get to learn them a little bit. And Josh Grogan half ran into my office this past week, as he does, you know, and he said, I'm speaking on evangelism. I said, great. Okay, let's think about that. And so each of our songs today, I just thought about, if I was going to share the gospel with someone, which songs would I put together? And I said rejoice, because in every season we get to praise his name for what he's done for us. And then we're also living in the reality that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Everybody is going to say that Jesus is Lord. So why not today? And you initiate that conversation. One of the things that you would tell someone is that my Savior is a personal Savior that lives in my heart. That's different than any other religion out there. And we know that this is the one true fellowship with God, is salvation. And then we'd also want to tell them that heaven is a real place, that if you are in Christ, that you will be with him one day forever and ever as the holy King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what then? Whenever you accept Christ, we need to be continually reminded of who Jesus is in our life. Because when you start looking to the left and to the right, he gets a little bit dimmer. Andre Crouch wrote a song called Take Me Back. Anybody ever know that song? It says, take me back, dear Lord, to the moment that I first believed. And I pray today that we would have a fresh recognition of who Jesus is. And this song's called Lamb of God. It says, He's the Lamb of God that took my place. His blood was poured out. My sins erased. It was my death that he died. I'm raised to life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We want to teach you this song, and then a couple weeks from there, we'll rejoice and sing it together as a congregational song. How about that? Y'all learn this with us. You came from heaven's throne, acquainted with our sorrow, to trade the debt we owe, your suffering for our freedom. The Lamb of God in my place, your blood poured out, my sin erased. It was my death you died. I am raised to life. Hallelujah, the Lamb of God. My name upon your heart, my shame upon your shoulders, the power of sin undone.
Amen. Sing this.
The cross for my salvation, the Lamb of God.
Pray that you would just light a fire in us. Let the revival start here. That we would do your work and not grow weary of doing good. We praise you. Amen.
Good morning. I can remember a couple months ago when David came to me. We were actually on a run in his neighborhood because he's trying to get back into shape a little bit. And he said, "All right, you ready to preach?" I was like, "Whoa, hold on there, man. I've only been here a month. And he came to me a month later and said, all right, you're going. I was like, all right, man, let's do it. And I'm pumped. I'm pumped to be here, pumped to share what the Lord's put on my heart to share with you guys. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We praise you. We're so thankful for September 15th, 2024. It's a new day, Lord. I pray that you would show up this morning, and we're only able to look back and say, you did that, Father. I pray, just as Pastor David always prays, that you would put me on the front row. Anything that's not of you would fall by the wayside, Lord, and you just speak through me. And Lord, I pray that we would just go out and learn and realize just the importance of sharing our story, sharing Jesus, sharing you to others, Lord. And Lord, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you turn to your Bibles to Acts 8, 25 to 40, this sermon is titled, It's Time to Get Off the Bench. All right, I thought that was a pretty worthy title since it's football season. Everybody on Saturdays is watching football. I mean, you guys, I'm from Kentucky, and you guys are crazy about football down here. And so I know most of y'all are watching football yesterday. So that's the title of the sermon. So look, go to Acts 8, 25 to 40. All right. And something I always tell our youth in our college is before we get in the word, we always want to look at context. Context is key. All right. And so context, we're going to look at the five W's and an H: who, what, when, where, why, and how. And so you can't always answer all those questions, right? But when I say the five W's and an H, I mean the who. Who wrote Acts? Well, we know Dr. Luke, one of the disciples, right? He was a doctor. He wrote the book of Acts. And so Luke wrote it, and he's writing to the Jews and Gentiles, right? He's writing to and sharing how Jesus is spreading after Jesus ascended, right? He died on the cross, then he ascended. And the book of Acts is all about the spread of the early church, right? And so that's who he's writing to. And then why he's writing it, it's the spread of Jesus. How these 12 guys went out and they just bragged about Jesus to everyone. Everyone that could hear it, right? Everyone that could see it. And so that's why Luke wrote the book of Acts. And then what we have going on, right? Right before, Saul is on a persecuting rampage, right? Before he came Paul, he's putting Christians to death. And then Stephen has been brutally murdered. Things are happening, horrible things are happening, but Jesus is being spread, right? And so when you're looking at context, you always want to look at the before, right? What's happening before we get to the main passage. And so I'm actually right now living in a barn right now. And so I'm living with the Snows, and it's been a lot of fun. And right when I stepped on campus here, a lot of y'all started telling me about this guy named Brother Fred. And I was like, who is this guy, Brother Fred? He sounds like a legend. And so come to find out, I was like, I want to find out who Brother Fred is. And so I was messing around in the barn one day, and I came across this old cassette player. So the Snows, they have all these older things in this barn. I came across this cassette player. And so I get to talk with Martin Dorsett. I was like, hey, listen, Martin, I know Brother Fred preached way back in the day. Do you have any cassette tapes? He's like, I do. I got a bunch of them. I was like, all right, gather up all the cassette tapes of Brother Fred. I want them. I want to borrow them. So starting about a month and a half ago, I lay in my bed before I go to sleep. I listen to Brother Fred preaching at Cottage Hill over a cassette player. And so this just gives me goosebumps. So the cassette, I got this big box, right? I grab one. I don't even look at the title usually. I just put it in. Last night, I put in the cassette player, and it's from 1972, right in the beginning of Cottage Hill, right, when Brother Fred came in, and he's preaching on, do miracles still happen? And he's coming over the cassette player teaching, and he's preaching on Acts 8, 13 to 24. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me, Brother Fred. You know, that was just the Lord, you know, making it clear to me, hey, I've given you the word to preach, and here's just confirmation that you're just going to preach right after what Brother Fred preached, right? And so what happened before is he was preaching on Andrew, it was Simon, and he was a magician, and he was born again. And so that's what's happening before we get into Acts 25 to 40, and that's what Brother Fred was preaching on. Do miracles still happen? And so I was just like, whew. I'm like, man, that's just awesome. So here we go. It's time to get off the bench. That's the title of this message, all right? So let's start in Acts 8:25, all right? So here we go. I'm going to read the whole passage here. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit said to Philip, "Go up, join this chariot." Philip ran up, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He said, "Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to a slaughter, and as a lamb before its shear is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is moved from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please, tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through it, kept preaching the gospel to all the cities, until he came to Caesarea. So, we're just going to break this sucker apart, all right? We're going to go verse by verse, all right? So, let me get a drink of water here. Probably thinking, oh man, he's got water. That's not a good sign. So verse 25, all right? So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem. So they, this is Philip, Peter, and John, all right? Peter and John, they were a part of the dream team, right? The disciples. So Philip is with these guys. They're in Jerusalem. Stuff's happening. People are getting saved. People are coming to know the Lord. People are starting to follow Jesus, right? And then we see in verse 26, out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord appears to Philip. And he says to Philip, "Get up. Go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road." And so I know I talked about earlier, Luke wrote the book of Acts, right? Well, who's this Philip guy? Well, turn to me just a couple pages before, all right? Acts 6, 3 to 5, all right? This is who this Philip guy is. It says, starting in verse 3 of chapter 6, "Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip. And it goes on to list a couple more names of guys that the Lord used in a mighty way at that time, right? So Philip, he was chosen when it says in verse 3, "Therefore, brethren, that being the 12 disciples, all right? And so they choose a couple more guys to go out and spread the word of Jesus, right? So Philip is among these first few other guys that start spreading the word of Jesus at this time, right? So that's who Philip is. He's this guy that was chosen by the disciples along with a few other guys. And An angel of the Lord appears, and he says, get up. So I'm big on writing in my Bible. So I hope you guys are too. So you're going to circle, get up. All right? There in verse 26, circle, get up. So he gets up, right? And then we see at the end of verse 26, it says, go to Gaza, a desert land. And it says in parentheses, this desert land, or this desert road. And so we know, okay, this is an obscure area. And I can remember just 4 months ago when the Lord called me to Mobile. I was like, Mobile? Where is this place? I've never heard of this. And I was between, you know, staying in Kentucky, working with FCA. That's what my dad does. And I was up at the Kanakuk Institute, and all of my students know this story. But the Lord just made it so very clear that I was supposed to come down to Mobile, Alabama. And at the time, I knew not a soul down here, all right? And I was like, all right, Lord, you made it clear. We're going down. The only person I know is David Bullock, and I hardly know this guy. I heard his story. We talked on the phone, but I just knew. I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. And that was my desert road, right, going to the obscure land of Mobile, Alabama. And so maybe there's a desert road the Lord's calling you to, you know, maybe a new job, maybe a new sports team in your high school, or maybe you're switching high schools, whatever it is the Lord's calling you to, we got to be obedient, all right? And I'll get to that. And so we go to this obscure land, right? So go back to verse, we're going to 27. We see that word get up again, circle, or got up. So, you know, the past of got up. And it says, or present of got up. He says, so got up, circle that, and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official. And so what did Philip do? He got up. So that leads us to our point number one. You know, every good Baptist preacher has a three-point sermon, right? So number one, it's time to get up. It's time to get up off the bench and into the game, all right? And what do I mean by game? Well, you're about to find out. We're going to keep plugging and chugging here. So point number one, it's time to get up. And so back to verse 27, he's going on this desert road. Philip is like, we don't see this in Scripture, but he's probably like, why in the world is the Lord calling me? All this stuff is happening in Jerusalem, and I want to be where the action's at. You know, I want to go where people are getting saved, and the Lord calls him and says, hey, get up and go. And he gets on the desert road, right? And he comes up to this Ethiopian eunuch. And what we find out about this Ethiopian eunuch, just from these first two verses, is he's a court official, all right? He was at Jerusalem worshiping, all right? So we know he's a religious man, but he doesn't have a relationship yet. We're going to see that here soon. And so he's religious. He just came back from Jerusalem worshiping. And so we see in verse 28, he says, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot was reading the prophet Isaiah. So he was reading Scripture. How cool is that? So he's reading Scripture, and then we see go up again. I love when you see repetition of Scripture. That means something, it's important, right? So we see in verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go up, so circle that, go up, and join this chariot. And Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you are reading? I love this. I was just telling our college students this morning, this guy is awesome. He literally ran. Like, he didn't walk, oh, I got to go talk to this Ethiopian eunuch guy. No, he ran. He ran up, you know? Like, he was immediately obedient. I mean, how often are we not immediately obedient when the Lord calls us to do something, right? And so I love that. So circle that. He ran up. So you see all these words, get up, go up, got up, ran up. And so he runs, and he's immediately obedient. And so Philip ran up, and then he heard him reading Isaiah, reading Scripture. And he asked him a question. He said, do you understand what you are reading? So he asked the question. When we're sharing Jesus, it's all about asking questions. And if you know me, I like to talk a lot. So we got to stop talking, and we got to start asking questions and learning how to listen when it comes to sharing the love of Jesus, right? And so Philip is just, this is just a spreadsheet just of how to share Jesus with somebody. It's just steps on how to share Jesus. And so he asked a question, right? He asks, do you understand what you're reading? And in verse 31, he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up, circle that, come up, and sit with him. I love calling that verse 31 a big old softball pitch to be crushed out of the park, right? He literally tosses Philip a big old softball pitch question to just crush it, right? And I'm sure you guys have been in conversations when you're sharing Jesus with somebody, someone will say something like, I don't have a purpose. I'm in a really low spot right now. Or, yeah, I don't have a purpose. Like, when I'm talking with people that I know don't follow Jesus and I hear them say things like that, it is just a big old softball pitch to be able to be crushed out of the park, right? And so be looking for those opportunities in your job, at your school. Just always ask questions. That's what we're supposed to do as followers of Jesus. We're supposed to love people and just ask good questions. You'd be amazed by what happens when you ask questions. People love talking about themselves. And if you just ask them a couple questions, you'd be amazed. I remember I was on an airplane. I went back to Branson, Missouri a couple weeks ago. And I was when I get on a plane, which is not very often, I'm always like, all right, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? Who's going to be sitting next to me? Give me an opportunity to share the gospel. And I started talking to this guy from Arkansas and just started asking questions. And he just started talking about his life. He's like, yeah, we moved from Wyoming to Arkansas. And we didn't have a place to live. And we met this family. And they said, hey, you can come live at our resort. And he didn't know this guy was a pastor. And he had not a resort, but like a retreat center where they would have retreats, right? For married couples, for kids. And they let them live at this retreat. And he started sharing all this with me. And he said, yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere. And then we didn't even know this guy was a pastor. And then, you know, he started talking more. And I was like, well, do you follow Jesus? He was like, you know, the pastor actually has been asking me that. And me and my wife, we're still trying to figure it out, still trying to find out what this whole Christianity thing is. And it was just cool how the Lord opened that door, right, on that airplane. And I was just there asking questions. And he didn't walk away following Jesus, but you could tell the wheels were turning, right? Like, we're here to just plant seeds, right? Or as some people call it, a pebble in the shoe, right? Get someone chewing on something, right? And so always be looking for those opportunities, those, I like to call them windows to the soul answers, you know? Like, I just don't feel like I have any purpose right now. Like, those are answers that are windows to the soul. So he asked that question, right? And, well, how could I? Verse 21, unless someone guides me and invites, and he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And then he reads the passage, right? The passage of Scripture. And it's in Isaiah 53, 7-8, but he quotes it here. Dr. Luke quotes it for us here. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, please, tell me, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of someone else? There's softball pitch number two to be crushed out of the park. Asks him another question that's just like, who is this prophet, or who is this guy that the book of Isaiah is talking about? And we know it's Jesus, right? And so, boom, right there, it's a softball pitch for Philip to crush out of the park and share Jesus with him. And so, in explaining verses 29 to 34, you know, it's time to get up and get in the game, right? But it's time to run to obedience, all right? We got to run to obedience. And that's point number two. It's time to run to obedience. And maybe the Lord right now, just as I'm speaking, is putting somebody on your heart at your work or at your school that's been starting to ask you questions. Or you kind of get the idea that, oh man, this person's seeking. Well, take that as a sign, hey, it's time this week to share the gospel with him or her, right? It's time to be obedient in that. Like, we are followers of Jesus, and it's not my job, it's not Pastor David's job to go out or to save everyone, right? That's Jesus who does that, right? But you guys are ministers as well. Like, and Pastor David might be like, ooh, why are you saying that? Like, don't invite people to church. You're supposed to go out and share with them. Then invite them to church. You know what I'm saying? And so it's time to get up off the bench and into the game of sharing Jesus with people, and let's stop throwing it on the pastors to do that. It's time. We're all ministers, all right? Let's do it. Let's get in the game, all right? It's football season. It's time to get on the game of Jesus, right? So, but it's time to run to obedience. And so that leads us to verse 35, all right? Am I going too fast? I remember David was telling me, he said one of the first times he preached, it was over in Davidson, and he was going, and a lady said, "Slow down, David!" And then he slowed down, but then the lady said it again, "Slow down, David," like halfway through. So I'm going too fast. "Slow down, Josh!" Just let me know, all right? But yeah, so 35, all right? Then Philip opened, so, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch asked this softball pitch question, right? "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" So he's asking him, you know, what's going on in these verses? Like, who is this guy? And it's Jesus, right? We know that. And then Philip opened his mouth, verse 35, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And so that just makes you think of this unbelievable scripture. I love it. 1 Peter 3:15. Like, Philip is just walking this out, right? 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Like, Philip is walking this out for us. Like, we always, as followers of Jesus, we always got to be ready to share why we're radically different. Like, we always got to be on guard. And some of y'all are probably thinking, "Well, Pastor Josh, I haven't shared my faith in a while. Maybe it's been 5 years. Maybe it's been 10 years. I'm here to tell you, it's time to stop being on the sidelines. It's time to get in the game. All right? It's time to get in the game. All right? And so we got to share Jesus. And like I said, the Ethiopian eunuch, or not the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip is just showing us how to do that in this passage of scripture. All right? And so, but what I want to focus on in this first 35, he shares Jesus, right? And Colossians, I love these two verses, Colossians 4, 2, and 3, and then 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. So Colossians 4, 2 through 3 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison." Then check out 2 Thessalonians 3:1, very similar verse. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you." And so I share that to say, these guys have already been praying. John, Peter, Philip, they're already prayed up, ready to go. Like, we looked at Acts 6:3 through 5, it says, you know, we'll go back to that verse real quick. "Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men, good reputation, full of the spirit of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task." Verse 4, key verse here. "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So these guys are prayed up. I tell you what, I tell our youth kids, a prayer that God will always answer is to give you an opportunity to share the gospel. It always happens. Always. It might not happen that day, it might not happen that week, but it will happen. The opportunity will arise, and it's our job to get in the game. So, going back to Acts 35, they're prayed up. Philip's prayed up, right? And so, we got to be devoted to prayer. I know I said a three-point sermon, and I originally had a three-point sermon planned out, but I just thought of this. It's time to be devoted to prayer, point number three, all right? We don't have it on the screen because I just came up with it. So it's time to be devoted to prayer, all right? So write that down. And that was something I loved about when the Lord led me here, was from day one, I was like, wow, this church is a praying church. This is awesome. There's something about just an elderly lady that prays all the time. There's just something about it. I went and saw a movie this week with a couple of our college students and with Bobby and Nancy. It was called The Forge. Really great movie. And there's an older lady in there, and she's a you just know she's a prayer warrior in the movie. And anyways, I say that to say, we gotta pick it up for the grandmas in here, all right? We gotta start praying, okay? So it's time to be devoted to prayer. So verse 35, we camped out there for a little bit, but we're gonna keep plugging and chugging, all right? Verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And then verse 37, 35 and 37 in this passage are just the key verses, right? It says, "And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so, boom, Philip asks him the question of all questions. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? And I know for us in here that follow Jesus, we can remember that question being asked of us, right? For me, it was my mom when I was 8 years old. I remember it to this day, March 18th, 2008. And I realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And boom, Jesus came into my life on that day. It was an incredible day. It was awesome. And so I know many of you can remember that day, right? When that person asked you the question, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Or do you believe in Jesus? Do you have faith in Jesus? Is Jesus in your life? There's so many different ways to say that question, but are you on Team Jesus? That's what I tell our youth all the time. I found this hat, and some of you guys know S.L., I believe his name was, and I was in a house, and there was this hat sitting on a bed, and there let me look through, getting a dresser, and there was this hat on there. It said Team Jesus Ministries. I'm like, that hat is awesome. And so I've been wearing that hat all the time. And so in youth, that's what we've been talking about. Are you on Team Jesus, or are you on Team Satan? Because 1 John is so clear. You're either on Team Jesus, or you're on Team Satan. There's no in between. And so, are you on Team Jesus? And so Philip straight up asks him right there in verse 37. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So that was key there, right? Before he was baptized, he made sure that he understood and that Jesus was in his life. Because remember, baptism is only an expression of our faith, right? Baptism doesn't save us. It's an expression showing our church family, showing our friends that, hey, I'm on the team, all right? And so I love that. They're going along the road, and the eunuch has accepted Jesus, right? Jesus is in his life, and he's like, there's water, let's do it. And so he gets baptized right there. And then in verse 38, and he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And then when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azusa, and he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. And so, verse 39, I can't imagine. He just gets snatched up like a movie, like just goes invisible, I guess. I don't know what happened, and finds himself in a different city. Like for you kids in there, like this is some Back to the Future stuff going on, verse 39, you know what I'm saying? And so, but it's super cool. And so, with verse 37, you know, going back to that verse, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So that leads us to it was going to be point number three, but it's our last point number four. It's time to share Jesus. It's time to get in the game and share Jesus. We got to share why we're different. We got to share why we're radically different. That's because of Jesus. Jesus loves you, just like this pen says. He has a plan for you. But we're sinners, right? And we miss the mark. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Do you have that free gift, right? Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this isn't of yourselves, it's a gift to God. Not a result of works so that no one may boast. right? It's a free gift. That's why so many people have a problem with Christianity, because it's so different than all the other religions, right? It's literally a free gift. All we got to do is take it. That's all we got to do. I remember I was in a tattoo parlor a couple of weeks ago. I was getting a tattoo. And the guy gave me the tattoo. It was a three-hour tattoo. And I'm getting the tattoo, and his girlfriend walks in. And on his girlfriend's knee is a tattoo right here, and it says Jezebel. I'm like, whoa, what we got going on here? Woo. She seemed normal, right? But I was like, as soon as she walked in, I was like, oh man, I gotta ask her why she got that. I'm like, hey, her name was Abby. I was like, hey, Abby, why? Because, you know, I got to know her first a little bit when she came in. I said, Abby, what's that tattoo mean? She said, oh, my mom is Pentecostal. And she would always call me the Jezebel spirit growing up because I was super rebellious. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. Can you imagine your mom telling you you're the Jezebel spirit? And she got that tattooed basically saying, screw you, mom. You know? But what's so cool about this is I was in there with a buddy of mine. And she starts asking questions. She's like, so, because I just asked her, you know, if you're Pentecostal, did you grow up in Pentecostal church? Did you grow up in church? And she said, yeah. She started telling me a little bit. And I said, well, do you follow Jesus? She said, no. And I was like, well, you know what that is? And we started talking. It was me and my other buddy who's a follower of Jesus. It was awesome. And she just started asking us questions, just like the Ethiopian eunuch. She said, you know, why are all these religions, like, why is there so many? Which one's right? That was a bit of an old softball pitch. And I let my buddy answered that question. It was awesome. It was so cool how the Spirit was working. And it was in a tattoo parlor. Like, come on, y'all. That's what it's about. Like, we got to go out. Like, we got to meet people where we're at, all right? Or where they're at. And that's what it's about, all right? We got to go out and share the love of Jesus. Just like Philip was obedient, went out to a desert road, right? And boom, this Ethiopian eunuch was there. He got to share Jesus. And that life was forever changed, his life, right? And so it's time. It's time to get off the sidelines. It's time to stop going through the motions of work. It's time to share Jesus, all right? And so in closing, I'll share this one other story, true story. Guy out of Virginia, all right? And he grew up. And he gets deployed into World War II, true story, and he refuses to bear arms, but he wants to serve his country. He refuses to bear arms. And he has to go through all these hoops and almost doesn't get to be in the army, but ends up getting into the army, and he doesn't carry a weapon at all. And he's a medic. And he goes, true story, his name was Desmond Dawes. They made a movie about it. It's called Hacksaw Ridge. And if y'all have seen that movie, unbelievable movie. And he was a follower of Jesus. He carried around his Bible in his back pocket on the grounds of war when he was out there. And they were fighting the Japanese, and all their men were running, were going back down the ridge. And he stayed up there because he quotes, and this is straight from, you know, they quote it in the movie, but it's also, they say this is what he quoted all the time, was he wasn't going to be taking life. He was going to be saving it. And so he ends up staying up there during the battle. All the guys have left, and there's all these wounded brothers up there, right? And one by one, he's going up to each guy, taking care of them, sending them back down the ridge. And it shows in the movie, every time he sends another guy back down the ridge, he's exhausted, he's worn out. He says, Lord, help me get one more. Lord, help me get one more. Lord, help me get one more. He said that prayer 75 times. He saved 75 men up there on the ridge that were going to die. He saved them. And he comes back down the ridge. And, you know, he was being made fun of. All these guys were like, why is he not holding the gun? Why is he not killing people for America? And they were just, when he came down the ridge, they were like, They couldn't believe it, right? This guy just says 75 men that we left up there. So I ask you, that's got to be our prayer. Lord, help me get one more. Help me get one more. And so, in closing, you know, this was a sermon for followers of Jesus. You're probably like, Josh, you're saying followers of Jesus all the time. Like, followers of Jesus, what is this? Well, just like in the book of Acts, and the verses we've been going through, like Philip, it says in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. So it doesn't go into detail of him preaching Jesus. It just said he did. And so this is how I believe he said it, right? He said, you know, from Isaiah 53, he says, you know, he was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shear is silent, so he does not open his mouth. Do you know that Jesus was led to the slaughter on your behalf? For you. We deserve to be on that cross. But he did it for us. And then it goes on, humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who were late, his generation, for his life is removed from the earth. He was humiliated. The Pharisees spit on him, took his clothes. He was gashed, whipped. For us, for you. And so I ask, do you follow Jesus? Do you know what he did on the cross for you? And you're like, well, Pastor Josh, I'm not really sure. Well, come on down. You know, Brother David is here, Brother Randy's here, Bobby, the whole team, you know, we'll be down here. If you need prayer, come on down. If you need encouragement, come on down, you know. And we'll be up here. And as Pastor Aaron began, or no, I'm going to turn it over to David. Come on down if you need some prayer. Come on down if you want to join our church. Come on down. But I'll leave you with this. It's time to get in the game.